Thank you, choir, and thank you, Ed and Brad. If you all were not able to be here last Sunday evening for our Christmas concert, one, you missed a treat. It was an incredible night of music. But two, as you prepare for Christmas, you can watch it. You can go home and watch it. It's available on YouTube. And there's some wonderful music that you can listen to while you finish getting ready for Christmas. Let's join together in prayer. Loving God, as we continue our Advent journey, God, we ask that you would be with us. Thank you for the many gifts we've been given, the gift of music, the gift of worship, the gift of community, the gift of your word. Lord, give us ears to hear what you have for us now. And God, I ask that you would take my words and use them for your kingdom. We pray these things in your name. Amen. I received two separate text messages this past week that made me smile and brought happy tears to my eyes. One was from a former youth group student who is now a youth pastor in Colorado, and one was from a neighbor. One came on Wednesday and one came on Thursday, two totally separate messages, but they included pictures of similar things. There were pictures that looked a lot like this, up on the screen, I think. Maybe. My slides aren't there. Never mind. My slides aren't there. So they included pictures of babies, two pictures of their daughters. And these are two friends that I know have had quite the journey, and they brought happy tears to my eyes. We have spent time during Advent this year comparing parts of the Christmas story with other parts of the gospel. Parts of the Christmas story as told by the gospel in Luke with other parts of Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry. So last week we compared the lowly shepherds to the influential tax collector Zacchaeus. And we talked about how despite their differences, they were both searching for joy. Despite the reality that they were from two different classes, that they were both searching for joy. The week before, it was the message the shepherds heard in their fields and the charge that Jesus gave to his first followers to go out and to work for peace. The first Sunday of Advent, it was the feeding trough in Bethlehem, the town that translates to house of bread, and the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Searching for joy, working for peace, hungering for hope. To quote the great theologian Linus Van Pelt, that's what Christmas is all about. Those are pictures of my kids, not the pictures that we received. We search, we work, we hunger, we search for joy, we work for peace, we hunger for hope. That's what Christmas is all about. They are actions or longings that we participate in, that God places in our innermost being. A part of what we are looking at this morning reminds us that beyond anything that we do, beyond our search, beyond our hungering, beyond our work, is something that God has done. Something that God has done. And it's really what the Christmas message is all about. What or who we receive. Pastor Faith is going to unpack the passage that we're looking at this morning a little bit more next Sunday. But there's a beautiful moment when Mary and Joseph share the good news about their child. And the people who receive it, they respond not too differently than we respond when we see pictures like this or when we get messages like this. Mary and Joseph were a devout Jewish couple. So they did what anyone in their place would do when they had a baby. They took Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated. And according to Mosaic law, any woman who gave birth to a child was required to come to the temple for purification, for a ceremony of sorts, 40 days after the child was born. And if that firstborn child was a boy, the child was to be dedicated to God, remembering what God had done during Passover. When Mary and Joseph enter the temple, they're met by two people that we can think of as elders in the community, Simeon and Anna. They're rightfully often referred to as prophets, maybe even people who offered wise counsel to their community. But in the Greek language, Simeon's welcome, it paints a different sort of picture than we often talk about. It's more of the picture of a servant who is told by a master to wait in a specific place until something happens, to stay there. We're told that Simeon took Jesus in his arms before praying to God. Now, a more literal translation would be he received Jesus in his arms. And in the same way that I shed tears earlier this week when I got those messages, knowing the situation of each of my friends, I'm guessing Simeon shed a few as well. But there was more to it. There was more to it. He had been waiting for this child for a long, long time. Most of his life and others had been waiting even longer. Now, a part of what Simeon shared that day would have been a shock to everyone who heard it as he took Jesus in his arms, including Mary and Joseph. The Jewish people had been waiting for thousands of years, but Simeon's message wasn't just for the Jewish people. As he received Jesus in his arms, he announced that God's redemptive plan was for the entire world. All we or anyone else has to do is follow Simeon's lead. We have to receive or welcome Jesus into our lives. We talk a lot about gift giving during this time of year, and hopefully with just a few days left, you're done or close to done. Anybody done with their gift shopping? Anybody close to done with their gift shopping? Anybody thinking about starting? I see you. Anyway, just thinking about starting. We've got 3 days left. Plenty of time. Plenty of time. So we talk a lot about gift giving during the season, but we don't talk as much about how we receive gifts. When I was close to my kids' age, I received a gift from my grandma and grandpa, and I don't even remember what the gift was. I don't even remember what it was that I was given, but I do remember my response. I remember what I said. I said, "It's not easy being cheesy." I was quoting Chester the Cheetah. Any of you know Chester the Cheetah? Chester the Cheetah from Cheetos. I had no idea why I said it. I had no idea that cheesy is another word for tacky or embarrassing. But I could see the hurt on my grandmother's face, which is why I remember saying it. And she knew that I was only 8 or 9 years old, but the damage in my mind had been done. Now contrast that with what Haley and I often experienced in Malawi when we would go out into villages with World Vision to introduce sponsors to their children. World Vision staff would coach both parties, mostly because of the cultural differences. The sponsors were coached on what to bring and how to present those gifts. The children and their families were coached with how to welcome the visitors who support their family and who support their whole community. Both sides were coached in the giving and the receiving of gifts. Now, it wasn't uncommon for the host family to give something like a chicken to the sponsor. Now, if you're traveling from the United States to Malawi and you're given a chicken in a village, what are you going to do with that chicken? You have no idea. So they would coach them on how to receive the chicken, how to be grateful for the chicken, and then they would take the chicken later and give it to someone else. The reality is, learning to receive gifts, it takes just as much work as learning to give gifts. Sometimes even more. Now, Christmas reminds us that God's love is a gift that we are invited to receive. And the familiar words from the third chapter of the Gospel of John explore the nature of that gift. As we read them, as we read these words from John 3:16 and following, I want to invite us to picture Simeon receiving Jesus on the steps of the temple. Hear these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates this light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 4 years ago, during the pandemic, around Christmas, one of my friends came up with a great idea of having a secret Santa gift exchange between 10 of us friends who live in different parts of the country. 4 years ago, the intent was simply to bring a group of guys together during a season of extreme isolation. To bring us together to check in with one another, to see how each other were doing, and to maybe share a little bit of joy with one another. That's still the goal. There's an app that we use that assigns a name to each person in our group. And there's not really any guidelines about whether or not the gift is supposed to be a gag gift or a gift that somebody actually really wants. Last night, we hopped on a Zoom call for our annual party, and someone mentioned that during the first year, we didn't use the sophisticated app. And somehow, two guys ended up with the same name, which meant someone didn't get a gift. So when the game ended and the names of each gift giver is revealed, we all felt awful. And this was the first year, right in the middle of the pandemic. Immediately, a text message thread was circulated, and the friend who did not get a message, Tom is his name, ended up with a pretty nice gift a few days later. And now, every year that we have this celebration together, we joke that someone is going to get Tommed. For Tom, for all of us, really, the physical gift is really just the excuse. It's really just the excuse to check in and share with one another about what's happening in each of our lives, to ask one another how we can support each other in the coming year, to celebrate the highlights together of the previous year. When Simeon receives Jesus in his arms, he recognizes that the gift that he is holding, that he received with joy, and he shared it with awe and with gratitude to everyone who was around him. That way that he received Jesus sets a tone or sets a model that we can follow as we receive the love that God offers today. The Isaiah passage that Pastor Daryl read and didn't sing this morning was first spoken to people who had been in Babylonian exile for decades. They were needed words of comfort, to be reminded that God hadn't forgotten them, that God was still with them. And the word that's given in the middle of the prophecy is prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight a path. Make valleys rise and mountains fall. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and everyone will see it. Everyone. Isaiah's words were a reminder that God had not forgotten them. That God was still with them. That even in their darkest days, as they were left longing for home, God had not forgotten them. Simeon and Anna would have been in a familiar place, and they would have been familiar with that text. Joseph and Mary as well. They would have known the many stories of God showing up, of God delivering God's people, and of God restoring them into right relationship again and again. And as Simeon receives the baby Jesus, he recognized that it was happening again. But this time, it was different. This time, God's faithfulness was being revealed truly to everyone. This wasn't just the restoration or the deliverance of a single people. It was the dawning of God's plan for all creation. Now, every time we read those familiar words from John 3:16, emphasis should be placed on the object of God's love. It's not God so loved the world or just the one person. It's God so loved the world. It is God so loved the world. In a world that often divides people into categories, us versus them, who's in and who's out, USC, UCLA, rich, poor, right, left, you name it. God's love is offered to everyone. We just have to recognize it and receive it. Now, there's a joke that's been passed down in my family, or a story, I should say, that's been passed out in my mom's family for a couple generations about how one of the grandmas or one of my aunts at some point handed a child in the family a present on Christmas morning and said, "Here, Ella, open your pajamas." Open your pajamas. And whenever our family comes together to open presents, that story is told again. And I'm sure there will at least one time whenever we open presents this week, someone will say, "Here, open your socks. Here, open your shirt." And with that particular gift, there won't be any guessing. It is whatever is inside the gift or whatever the person says. And that's how it was for Simeon and Anna. They recognized the child on their arms as the fulfillment of the ancient promise given through Isaiah. Jesus was the living, breathing embodiment of God's love and redemption. In Ephesians chapter 3, as Paul prays for the church in Ephesus, he says, "I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you might be rooted and established in love and able to grasp the height, the depth, the width, of Christ's love, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Now, earlier I mentioned that an essential part of Christmas is recognizing what God has done for us, not what we have done. But if we're honest, sometimes giving something that we do is easier than receiving. Think about the last time you were given a compliment. Maybe it was good job. Maybe it was nice outfit. Think about that time. How did you respond? How did you respond to that compliment? Was it a simple thank you? Or maybe it was something more along the lines of, "Oh, no problem. It was nothing." We live in a culture where we're often taught that the polite response to a compliment is often a deflection, almost as some sort of display of humility. We might hear a compliment and return, "Oh, it was nothing." But when we deflect, we miss the opportunity to receive a gift that is being offered. We're unintentionally pushing away the kindness and love that someone else wants to share. The same sort of thing can happen with God's love. We think we're not worthy. Or we think that we're not capable of receiving it. Or maybe that somehow it's just not that big of a deal. Paul's prayer for the people in the church of Ephesus is an Advent prayer of sorts. As we long for Christ's return, we need to train ourselves, to prepare ourselves, to receive God's love. A love that is deep, wide, and high. That fills us with the fullness of God. And as we learn to receive it, we need to remember we're also called to share it. Toward the end of the story of Simeon and Anna, we're told that Anna, she gives thanks to God, and she shared about Jesus with every person she knew who was looking for the Messiah. She didn't just stand in awe about the gift. She didn't just marvel at what was happening. She jumped into action. Her response invites us to think about how we respond to God's love. How can we share God's love in these next few days as we head toward Christmas? It might not be in physical gift giving, but it might be. It might also be through a kind word or a simple gesture. Whatever it is, however big or seemingly small, every act of love we offer reminds us of the light of Christ in a world that desperately needs that light. As we hunger for hope, work for peace, search for joy, may we also learn to recognize, receive, and share God's love. A love that was found in a manger and is still offered to us today. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you so much for the gift of love, for the gift of Jesus. May we continue to do our best to reflect his light into this world. We pray these things in your name. Amen.